Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This week's episode of Do Go On is brought to you by our upcoming show in Perth. Perth, we're coming over for the first ever time, Sunday, November the 3rd, at the Comedy Lounge. It's a double pod extravaganza. And by that, I mean there's a live podcast, and afterwards we're going to run a super fun, super loose quiz. Two shows for the price of one.
Be there or be a loser. I think is the same.
That's good stuff. If you want tickets, you go to dogoonpod.com, and that's the same place you can find tickets for our upcoming December UK and Ireland tour with shows in Dublin, Glasgow, Leeds, Bristol, London and Birmingham. Some shows are sold out, so get in right now. And for the ones that are sold out, get in 2 weeks ago. Okay, I'm on the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki and I'm sitting here in a different chair with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
How's your tush?
Very comfortable.
More comfortable than your usual chair?
Yeah, there's extra padding on this chair because not many people sit in this chair.
Yeah, right, worn okay. It down. Why are you sitting in a different chair,
well,
Dave?
Well, I've been usurped. I've been kicked out of my normal chair by... rather violent individual by the name of Alistair Tremblay-Birchall.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Al. We know you from Two in the Think Tank and being our friend in real life.
Yeah, and I know you guys from that same friendship and from your podcast, whose name escapes me.
You were just singing it.
You were just singing. You made up a song about us.
Oh, that's true. I was at the same one. You guys are still doing that one.
Yeah.
Still do go on great. Oh, cool. Well, thanks for having me on.
We can't believe it either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. It's crazy even to us. But what we like to do here sometimes is delegate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we like to get some of our close friends to come in and do a shit ton of work so that we don't have to.
Let me ask you this, Al. How many years has it been since someone's given you a homework task?
Oh, I feel like the kind of line of work that we're all in essentially is it's all homework.
Yeah.
It's all self-motivated, giving yourself little projects and things like that. So I understand that you guys have a little bit of guilt because I've written something up for today's thing. But I want you to know that this is my life and this is my dream to get to do this with you guys.
Wow.
And this is what I've, you know, it's a whole direction. It's been building up to this. The beginning of the universe till now has been leading to this point.
Wow. Mm. What will happen afterwards?
I think that's when the universe starts to slow down and then it starts to come back on itself and then we're heading towards that big crunch.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Is that how it ends, with a big crunch?
That's one theory. Wow. But, I mean, they don't know what...
starts with a bang, ends with a crunch.
They weren't 100% sure this podcast was going to happen, but now that we know it is...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The crunch is coming.
I like that guy in the trench coat at the end of Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Me and the guys were having our bets back at the office. No one thought you'd actually turn up. Is it kind of like that?
I'm no physicist, but yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
Wow. I didn't know that happened at the end of that movie. I don't remember that.
It's a great scene.
As soon as you say guy in a trench coat, I assume he's got nothing underneath.
Me too.
You know? He's just like, you see him from the back and it's just a man in a trench coat. Then you're like, hang on, where are his pants? And then you see him from the front and his dick's out.
Are you McFly? Are you Marty McFly? He comes up, Brent's like, whoa, you come up real full on for a guy who's excited to see someone who's basically proved that time travel's real. Anyway.
Huh. Don't remember that either.
I wonder if that was a direction or if that actor just took the... I want to go hard at this.
Yeah. That was just, you know how like they always go, all right, I think we've got it, but let's just have one more for fun.
Yeah.
Maybe it was go the big. Fun one. Yeah.
It could have been two kids in a trench coat wearing no clothes.
With their dicks out.
And that. The reason why he was sounding extreme was because he doesn't know how to be an adult.
Oh, right.
And so,
a kid's impression of an adult is extreme.
And loud because parents are always yelling at him.
Always yelling.
He's building his backstory into his front story.
Yeah.
Which is nude.
Which is nude. Yeah.
Yep, that makes sense.
Well, I mean, there's been a little bit of foreshadowing there about today's topic. Block means there's going to be a few topics where normally we don't know what it is, but today we all kind of know what it is. But we also really, we normally start the episode with a question. Have you got a question or seeing as we all know what it is?
Should we explain before Al gets into it, just in case people are tuning in for the first ever time, what the show
Al
is?
Al and this topic will bring in a few new listeners, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to those people, first of all.
Welcome
so
to everybody.
Much.
Yeah, this is a weird thing, but this is... I guess the question is, are you keen for peen?
Okay. can I answer for everyone?
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
I'm keen.
Exactly. Now, I believe that this is a reference to a joke that you guys used to do on the show.
Yeah. None of us can remember when it began.
So the show's been going for nearly 4 years now, and maybe I reckon in the first 6 months or so.
Yeah.
We were very keen on hashtags early in the day.
Yeah,
we'd
that's
say
right.
This week's hashtag is use this, and our 600 followers or whatever at the time would do that. And the one that seemed to stuck was hashtag keen, or stick, I should say, is hashtag keen for peen.
Yeah. Hot for tut was another big one.
Yeah, and pray for Bob. That one has stuck around.
That's probably the most enduring.
Keen for peen. I don't remember where keen for peen came from, but it comes up every now and then.
Well, this is.
And it has been voted on by the listeners who wanted it as a block topic. So this is like a top five voted
on. Right. And because we're doing our block means we're doing our top five most requested topics this month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are you doing for block, Al? Yeah, you got any other block plans outside of this?
I'm giving up Lent.
Yeah. You're giving up Lent for block?
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
So you're not depriving yourself of anything.
Yeah, that's the sweetest loophole of all. Giving up on giving up. I love that.
Yeah, that is great.
I'm starting to binge a lot more. I'm trying to get back into binging.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
You know how scientists thought it was bad for so long? Anyway, it's considered good again.
Oh, thank God.
Is that true?
No.
Because you're sort of like a scientist.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of what I'm the way I've approached this Keen for Peen episode.
Right.
I've turned it into what I believe is a history of the penis.
Oh, man.
Your penis?
No.
He doesn't refer to his penis as the penis.
Well, I do.
No,
you refer to Al's penis as the penis. Yeah.
The best there ever was, the best there ever will be.
Oh, God.
Al.
I appreciate it, but I want you to know that my penis makes no appearance in this report whatsoever.
Unless we bring it up in conversation.
Otherwise, there might be another hashtag, me too.
That's right. Well,
people requesting that Al talks about his penis. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Can you get that guy back on?
I want to know about his penis.
He didn't make the story personal enough. All right, now, for those who don't know, the penis is the male sex organ, which also acts as a conduit for urine to leave the body.
Wow.
I've never thought of a penis as a conduit.
Wish I brought a pen.
I never thought of a penis as a double threat before, but... There it is.
Dave, I think there's going to be some other things that...
I'm sure that...
Tap dance.
There was a third use that some people I knew in high school did where there was about... You could press it up against some glass and it looked like a squashed frog.
That's a third art form right there.
Yeah. Better than a squashed frog on the scale of art. It's like above mime. You know?
It may be even above podcasts. I think. Like,
yeah.
I remember going to a festival once and finding out that circus acts were above stand up comedians, and I was like very disappointed. I was like, "Oh, we are low on the ladder."
Yeah, we are.
Well, how did you find that out?
Because the circus performers were allowed to have Smirnoff ice drinks, and we were only allowed to have beers.
That's weird.
Yeah, we were down low.
So you'd say, let's say, what's your art form? Ah, your circus. Freak, okay. Have a vodka. You're a comedian.
Beer for you, scum.
They drink a bit of beer and spit it into a separate cup and hand it to you.
There you go.
You're filth. I'm a frog ball and penis window guy. My goodness, please. Cognac for you.
Here is the Moët Chandon.
Yeah, they've roped off a section.
Allow me to carry you, my liege.
Feel free to use this window. Would you sign this window for me?
Now the
with your dick.
The word penis comes from
Latin.
From I believe so. Well, they say it comes from about 1670s, perhaps from the French penis.
But before the 1670s, it wasn't a penis.
I don't think so. And then it comes from the Latin penis, which earlier was just meant tail.
It does look a bit like a tail.
Yeah. Mine is certainly the length of a tail.
Shut up, Dave. Enough about
which.
Okay,
which
all right.
Animal's tail?
Putting a boxer.
A gecko. What's the one that their tail falls off?
A blue whale.
Okay, all right. I'm putting it all on the table now. No more mentions of any penises that are in this room.
Well, I'm putting another thing on the table right now.
His elbow. Rudely while he's eating.
Never understood that rule. Okay. No more mention of my penis. But
unless
I will mention
particularly
what, pertinent?
A good joke. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Now, according to this definition, the proper plural is penis.
Ah, oh, that's so much better than
How are you spelling that?
P-E-N-E-S.
Wow.
Penis.
Yeah, I had to Google pronunciation. Yeah.
Did you go to Emma Saying on YouTube?
Emma had the snake one. Cause,
what?
So, because the snake one, snakes have two.
Oh.
And it's called
Hermapenes.
Yeah.
The snake, so, I mean, the snake basically is a penis.
Yeah, hold on. Just, are you counting the body of the snake as one?
This is according to scientists. They didn't go into whether or not they're counting the body, but they said that they had two, and I think they're not counting the body. Right. But then the penis is part of the body.
Sure.
So,
right.
That's a good point, too.
So, I mean, technically you could count it as one because it's just, anyway. So, now, also the adjective is penial. Okay.
Right.
But to tell the story of the penis, we have to go back to when life first emerged at least 3.8 billion years ago, about 750 million years after the Earth was formed.
Wow. Right? So the first three quarters of a billion years was pain-free.
Completely. It was a clean slate.
Imagine a pain-free world.
Wow. Mm.
It would have been nice, I think.
Yeah.
It would have been less awkward. Right? Yeah. So now picture this. The surface of a young planet around a medium-sized star is beginning to cool down. It's a violent place bombarded by meteorites and volcanic eruptions with an atmosphere full of toxic gases. But almost as soon as water begins to form pools and oceans on its surface, something extraordinary happens. A molecule, or perhaps a set of molecules capable of replicating itself, arises.
Oh.
Right?
Wow.
Now, all Beautiful. Living things, despite their endless variations, contain three fundamental elements. This has gone far from penises already, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, thank you, Carl Sagan.
Mm-hmm. They contain three fundamental elements. There are molecules that encode information and can be copied. That's DNA, or its simpler relative, RNA. There are proteins, which are workhorse molecules that perform important tasks. And encapsulating them all, there's a cell membrane made from fatty acids, right? And that's a very early cell. Now, early cell membranes were built from fatty acids. Fatty acids are molecules that look like lollipops, and they've got a round head and a long tail. And the head enjoys the company of water, whereas the tails despise it. So, when placed in water, fatty acids self-assemble into hollow spheres, with the water-hating tails pointing inwards and the water-loving heads on the surface. These spheres can enclose RNA and proteins, making protocells. Fatty acids then can automatically create the compartments that were necessary for life to emerge. And that's because I believe...
In a free world?
And this is a personal belief, that the universe is keen for pain. Right? So this natural thing where, like, there's just an inclination towards life just happening... I believe, is because the universe was trying to get us to this end point where we are now.
Yes.
And this is the end point of the world. Right.
Hmm.
So now, the first cell is presumed to have arisen by the enclosure of self-replicating RNA in one of these membranes. So RNA was just a molecule that was capable of reproducing itself, and that was kind of considered the beginning of life. But then you got it enclosed in these fatty acids like that, and then it was be able to separate itself from the outer world and kind of keep these things together, and then things were able to form in there like DNA and proteins and things like that, right? And so a cell like that is common ancestor to all life, right? Now, eventually, these simple creatures start to reproduce themselves, either asexually or sexually, right? An organism that is both that is born through asexual reproduction only has the DNA from one parent. In fact, their offspring is genetically an exact copy of the parent, and this can cause problems for the individual. For example, if the parent has a gene that causes a particular disease, the offspring will also have the gene that causes that disease. So organisms produced sexually, though, may or may not inherit that disease because they receive a mix of their parents' genes, right? This doesn't seem that much about penises yet, right?
Yeah.
But it's important to know why penises would emerge.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because or else you just got these things that replicate and they're exactly the same as their parents. And so if a disease comes through that can kill their parents, it can kill everything in the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and on and on.
Right, whereas...
I'm not sure if I follow as yet.
No.
But I reckon I will soon.
No, you're going to get there. And it's going to get really...
When the pains appear.
Yeah. Right?
When they emerge.
I'm sorry, when they
emerge. That's when they emerge, I know. It was hard Googling, when did penises emerge?
Yeah, don't Google image that.
When were chops first flopped?
Yeah, good question.
Put it in Matt's.
Now I'm following my vernacular. Thank you.
All right, Matt, you're going to love this. Penises. There you go. Now you're all
Penis.
Penis.
Penis, yeah.
Isn't that also a flower?
Hope so.
The blue Pyrenees? Looks like a mountain range, I think.
The blue Pyrenees.
Penis, yeah.
Penis weren't necessary when our early ancestors lived in the ocean. A female could lay eggs and a male could just swim by and excrete some sperm. It would all mix and fertilize in the water. But that all changed when our ancestors crawled up onto land. Because if you go up on land, your eggs would just dry out, and then if you just laid them on the ground. So nature came up with a different way, internal fertilization using the penis.
I'd love to have attended that boardroom meeting.
Yeah, a trick for getting sperms to eggs. So, but where did it come from? Well, one theory about how the penis formed. All right.
Another Google search.
Now,
theory on how penis was formed.
Oh, my God. I've been Googling this kind of stuff so much, and it's been really hard to find, right? Now, for example, legs are another essential element of life on land, right? And some scientists thought that the penis and limbs evolved around the same time, right? Now, snakes...
Mine certainly did. Sorry, Jess.
Dave's three legs, right?
I think, look, if you want to follow the rule where, you know, we're not using penises in the room, we could just start talking about, say, Gary's penis. You know?
Gary's shoulder.
Oh, Gary's. And we just say it in the same bragging tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a loophole. Yeah. Makes me slightly less uncomfortable.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you.
That's a win.
Thank you for that.
Okay. Now, so they think that legs and penises evolved at the same time. Now, snakes have since lost their limbs, but they've kept their penis.
Which is their body.
Which is their... No, well, they've got two.
God's like...
They're very ass.
And they've got
choose
two.
Choose one.
Not counting the body, which is the third one.
Choose right? one. Choose limbs one. Or your dick.
Choose my dick. Thank you. Good night. Next question.
Would you in that? Would you choose your dick in that?
You're damn right.
So you
Gary would, sorry.
Yeah, would Gary?
Gary's
so
a real snake.
Gary would just be a torso and a head and a dick.
I've still got arms, don't I?
No. Limbs.
No, I was thinking of just the legs.
Great.
Come back to Gary.
So then, as we know, each one is called a hemipenis or a hemipenis?
Hemipenis. Yeah, we all know.
Yes, of course. We know.
Okay, now researchers look closely at the embryos of the snake, and some kinds of snake embryos still have limb cells in them today. And it's the limbs, it's those limb cells that actually get hijacked to become the hemipenis,
oh.
He says. And because you have two limbs, that's most likely why you end up with two how many pennies. Right?
Right.
Now, the researchers also looked at mice, and they found that the penis, though, formed not around the legs, but near the tail. So what causes two penises to grow from the region? And that, maybe that's why there was just one, right?
Right.
So now, what causes two penises to grow from the region where a snake once had its legs and one to grow from the tail region because of a mouse? Well, it turns out that the cells are getting orders from another part of the body, the anus. Uh-huh. Right now,
that bossy part of the body.
That's right. You remember hearing that joke where it's like, you know, it's like all the parts of the body, you're talking about who's the big boss of the body, you know, and the head's like, I run the show and all that. And then the arms are like, I know I run the show. But then the anus shuts itself down. And then, you know, like the body fills up with shit and then the person goes into like toxic shock and they die or whatever. And the anus is like, I fucking run the show.
That's a joke that we all remember.
Yeah, it's a fun joke.
You guys don't remember that joke?
From primary school, yeah. Yeah.
That's either a French-Canadian thing or or an engineer thing.
Oh, no.
Or both.
The team's turning against me.
I'm with you. I remember Letterman opening the monologue with that one day.
Right.
Remember when the ass shut down?
Yeah. So the
you guys heard about this?
You heard this? I love this. My favorite thing. You guys seen this?
You heard this? You heard about this?
I love this. Hands in the pocket. All right.
Now, the digestive tract is among the most ancient parts of any animal, right? Even the most primitive animals have mouths and bottoms. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's one of the best things I've ever seen, ever, right? It was only within the last 6 months.
Wow.
Is this video that a guy made of a fertilized like salamander cell going from one cell, and then he filmed it until it turned into a salamander.
Whoa.
It's a close-up bit of vision, and you just see the single cell go bloop and kind of split into two, and then go bloop and split into four, and they go bloop, 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 bloop until it becomes way more cells, like tons and tons of cells, and then you start to see it take shape.
Whoa.
Right? But then there's this one part before it really kind of starts to take shape, where you see it go and kind of just flip in on itself, and it creates this weird tube in the middle of itself, and that's that mouth-to-anus tube that we all
–
that gets created really early. That's like the first thing, right? Like, so like your inside from, you know, your mouth to your anus is essentially separate from your body because you're not – like, you know, there's ways to get in, but that is a kind of a separate – part of you. It's almost outside.
But so, it's the complete opposite of that.
It's inside. Yeah. It's like an outside inside place. Kind of like a sunroom.
Yes. You know? Yeah. You can open the French doors.
Exactly. But you know, you never heat it. You close the door to that room when you're heating.
It's an entertaining area for the summertime.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the friends over.
It's the same thing for your digestive tract.
Yeah. I think of dinner as having a few friends over.
It's exactly what it is.
Let's go hang out in the sunroom, friends.
Couple of vitamins over for, you know, to enrich your life. And that's what friendship should be. Couple of things enriching. I come from Wall Street. And when more complex animals are developing in the womb, it's actually the gut that spurs the organs to grow. So the gut has, you know, has a lot of, you know, like I said, he's the big boss. Organs like the liver and pancreas bud off of the gut, and apparently so does the penis. Wherever the gut happens to end, signals go out telling the penis to form.
Oh, wow. Right? So it's always near Uranus.
That's right. That's right. Like,
that's beautiful.
Gary's anus.
Gary's anus. Right. Yeah. That was the royal you, to be fair. But thank you for pulling me up on my own rule. I appreciate that.
And I did look up these researchers who've kind of were talking about this stuff. They also written a paper called "A Relative Shift in Cloacal Location: Repositions External Genitalia in Amniote Evolution." Now, I don't know what that means exactly. But my interpretation is that if you can get an anus in a different place, a dick will grow there.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Look,
that's my general interpretation.
Do you go into cloaca as much, Tay? Because you're a pretty big cloaca man.
Yeah, I love the cloaca. I think it's a much better system.
Yeah.
I think the idea of two cloacas coming together instead of, you know, sort of penis-vagina intercourse, you know, it's that cloacal kiss like a chicken's do, right? It just sounds nicer, doesn't it?
Cloacal kiss.
Sounds like something you could do on the first date.
A cloacal kiss.
Yeah,
cloacal kiss on the first date.
As opposed to full penetration.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could also do that on the first date. I think that's totally cool. Or Gary could do that on the first date.
Do that. Gary does do that.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, obviously.
Oh, Gary does it on the first date.
Oh, my God. It's rare that he doesn't do that. That's when you know it's special.
Can you just quickly explain what a cloaca is? It's a bit of everything.
It's a birthing canal. It's a urethra. It's an anus, but it's not three holes. It's one hole.
And what animal?
And I want you to know that I was saying that like Steve Jobs said it when he was presenting the iPhone. It's a phone. It's an iPod, and it's a third thing, but it's not three devices. It's one device.
It's one hole.
Yeah, it's one hole.
So so chickens have cloacas?
Yeah.
Right. But even though there are hens and roosters.
There are kind of male cloacas and there are female cloacas.
Are there any animals that just have, they all have the same kind of cloaca?
I think I would not know.
Right. All right. I think I misunderstood how big your love of cloacas
is. Yeah.
Are. I think you just like the word.
I love it. I would say snails probably have some kind of system like that, but they can reproduce asexually. But they can also, I think, interbreed.
And you can cut them in half, and that makes them two as well.
I think that's a worm, and I'm not sure that's right either. I think any fun fact that you've ever heard, I think that's they're all bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they're fun. You see, you know how you've been bored up until this point?
Yeah.
Listening to this? It's because I haven't put any fun facts in here. Yeah,
just real facts.
Yeah, just real facts. All right. Now, obviously, that's the evolutionary explanation of where the penis comes from. But the biblical version is God was making the universe and he looked around and he thought, you know what, this place is missing?
Bit of dick.
Penises. And so based
God's
off...
God's a real perv. Yeah.
Well,
there was Gary and Eve, and he's looking at Gary going, yeah. Let's do something with that nub around the crotch.
Well, actually... that you look like a Ken doll, Gary.
They all just had flat down
there. It was smooth.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's almost a better look as well. Yeah.
Cloacas. Cloaca nubs. Could we make that happen?
Cloacal nubs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Or just have it in between the cheeks.
Yeah.
Do you think? And then you would kind of have to you'd have to sort of butt scissor.
Butt scissor.
But there would be no sort of butthole. It would now be a cloacal hole.
Or you could just sort of back into each other.
I think that's nice. But then the
back
cheeks.
And spread.
The
back
cheeks
it up.
Get in the way. The cheeks would. There'd be a cushion to stop the pushing.
So maybe don't put it between the cheeks. Why put it between the cheeks?
For modesty.
Yeah, for modesty reasons. And then if you really want to, then you could sort of. You could butt scissor.
So there's no accidental.
Yeah, so there's no accidental impregnation.
Imagine, if you're
really...
accidentally. Like if you put it on your hand and all of a sudden we're not used to the new technology.
Yeah.
And we're still shaking hands or high-fiving.
Yeah, or smacking each other on the butt because we're playing football together.
Yeah, it's going to lead to issues.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So you got to think about that.
Yeah. Gary should know better though.
But he doesn't.
So God created.
The penis.
God created the penis off of an image that in his mind, right?
Is it referenced in the Bible?
Well, this is what I wanted to get to. Is that I was using this as a bit of connective tissue between this idea and then this little thing that I read about. Is that God made Adam and his penis, obviously, but then we all know how God made Eve,
right?
From his rib.
Yeah, it took one of Adam's ribs.
Well. According to Ziony Zevit, a professor of biblical literature in Northwest Semitic languages, God then made Eve not from Adam's rib, but from his baculum.
His baculum.
His baculum. Now, what is a baculum?
Yeah.
Well, as you know, the human penis contains no bones, right? You're all familiar with this?
Yeah. So why weird that we call it a boner.
That's right. It is very weird.
There's no bone in that.
There's no bone in there. But most mammals do have a bone in their penis, including our closest evolutionary relatives, chimpanzees and bonobos.
Really?
Yes, they both have penis bones.
What? I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
Bones connected to the pelvis, I guess. No, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's got to be anchored somewhere.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, in primates, the presence of a penis bone was most tightly correlated to increased intromission duration, which is how long the penis penetrates the vagina during intercourse. Longer intromission times often occur in species with polygamous mating practices, where multiple males mate with multiple females, as seen in bonobos and chimps, but not in humans. And this
apart
system,
from the Oneida sex cult community.
That's right.
Which we talked about last month.
But also bonobos make plastic containers for putting your foods in as well. Yeah. So you're right. They're actually connected to them in that way.
Now, it's amazing what bonobos can do.
Well, that's right. They're so similar to us.
So you're saying the more people you fuck, the longer you can fuck for. I hated myself for that whole sentence.
Well, the reason why they have a bone is probably because they're having sex for longer. And even after they have ejaculated, the penis will still be functional for having sex because it has a bone holding it up.
Right. Like if a tentpole.
They need to go again. Yeah, so structural integrity.
Yeah.
And now this is why...
Do they need a gyro rope as well? Guy rope?
Yeah.
Gyro rope?
Is it a guy rope or a gyro?
I don't know what that is.
That's when you're putting up a tent, you got the pole in the middle, but then you hold your nail in some guy ropes.
Yeah, I think you can do that with some banana leaves and stuff like that. You know, when you're
chimps, that's why chimps love bananas.
That's why they love bananas, because the leaves are so fibrous for making gy ropes. Now, the interesting stuff with the reasons for the bones is so multiple males are mating with multiple females, right? This system creates an intense competition for fertilization, and one way for males to reduce a female's access to additional males is to spend more time having sex with her themselves.
It's like when someone in Parliament doesn't want anyone else to speak, so they just speak for 24 hours.
Yeah, it's a filibuster.
It's a filibuster dick. That's what...
Filiboner.
Filiboner. Oh, Gary.
If I have sex with this female chimp for 72 hours straight, no one can get in there.
Yeah, and so, and the penis bone facilitates this by supporting the penis during sex and keeping the urethra.
Still rock hard in here! Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, look, this is going to be pretty awful, what I'm about to say. But so, I remember this just reminds me of one time my friend told me that he knew a guy who had gone to some sex party and had taken Viagra. And apparently, that you know, even after you've ejaculated, you can keep going. And he's like, so what was that like? He goes, oh... By the end of it, I was shooting gravel.
Oh, God.
Just that idea. You're just so deep in the cavity of the testicles that just hunks of solid matter are coming out. Anyway, apologies.
Stomach lining, bile.
Okay, so back to Adam and Eve. This Zevit guy, he says that, so men don't have an uneven number of ribs. And nor do men have fewer ribs than women. So none seem to be missing.
Right? I always thought that's something that I only learned in the last few weeks. I can't remember who told me.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
I always assumed that was based on the fact that women and men had a different amount of ribs.
Mm.
But I only learned recently that is not the case.
What? That was on one of my reports, I think.
Right.
And we were talking about it and we were trying to find our ribs.
Yeah. It's hard.
Aren't we cute?
Yeah. Well, there's too much matter between them to kind of really count them out.
But it's like you can have like 12 or 11. Like,
yes. Or
it can vary.
In Marilyn Manson's case.
A couple less.
Oh, hello.
Right, okay.
So they don't. So this is why this guy is saying that God created Eve with his baculum. So why would ancient Hebrews come up with a story that so plainly fails to correspond with reality? Well, he says over the 40 appearances of the word tzela in the Bible, which is the word that is translated as rib, usually it means the side of something, but it occurs 40 times and it never sort of means rib, right? And so he's saying that rib is the wrong translation for tzela. In the Adam and Eve story in the Bible, Zevit believes that tzela should be translated as a non-specific general term. Anyway, so he says it refers to limbs lateral to the vertical axis of an erect human body, hands, feet, in this case, males, the penis, which of these lateral limbs, and which of these lateral limbs lacks a bone? Human males do not have a penis bone, but many mammals do. So Zevit concludes that in the story of Adam and Eve in the Bible, the woman was created from the man's baculum to explain why the appendage isn't there.
So he's a believer in, like, literal, the Bible's to be taken literally.
I think he wants it to make sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. I guess that's, you want to start. But then why animals? Like, how did they make the female animals? Like, the badger still has its cock bone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The badger's connected to the cock bone. Yeah.
So they didn't do the same by taking out the cock bone from the badger to make the female badger?
I think God just made those.
Does he work in mysterious ways?
Well, he just went like this. He just went. I think that was the only thing that he ever referred to.
I mean, if you can just do it with clicking your fingers, why do you have to steal the cock bone?
I think it was because he was making us in his image. He wanted to take a little time.
So he made Adam, mm-hmm. and then from Adam he made Eve, right? So now he's like, okay, mm-hmm. they're like same but different.
Yeah.
So then he was sort of like, I've created females. So then when it came to animals and stuff, it was just like...
Oh, right. So he'd create... That was him taking the time to create
gender. We're a prototype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they perfected you when he created the badger.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's why I hate badgers so much. It's really just that I'm jealous of them.
Those dogs.
So another
thing... No, badgers.
Oh, sorry.
Love dogs.
Love dogs.
Hate badgers.
In terms of evolution, another thing that humans have lost, as well as the baculum, or bacula for the plural...
Mm-hmm.
Is
wow, multiple penis bones.
Well, you know, I guess if you think of all the Garys that are out there,
yeah.
You could think of all the bacula that we don't have.
Yeah.
Al, you're a man of science.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on the whole God created man thing?
Where do I stand on it?
Yeah.
I think it's.
Do you have a take?
Yeah, I got a hot take.
Okay.
Yeah. He definitely did. Yeah.
That is great. A hot take,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, yep.
So, you know, so that's why I don't know why I bothered you with that evolution thing at the beginning. As you saw, it was confusing and boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's why it's important that we all know that, you know, God did create everything. But, I put that there. God put that thing in me to put in there.
The baculum.
To challenge you.
Okay. Yeah. And did we pass the test?
Well, you seem to be questioning it, and that's why you got me to this point to admit it, so you failed.
Now, real doubting Thomas.
Yeah, now over these...
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of years, humans not only lost the bacula, we also have lost penile spines.
What?
I mean...
Spines.
Why are we not protesting in the streets for this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so as in like spines on a spiky echidna? Or spines like your little D4 or whatever they are
vertebra.
In the back? Vertebra.
I think they vary. They vary in hardness and purpose.
Well, Gary, sometimes, you know, he's had a hard day and he can't focus. So he's sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Well,
you know, I don't know if you coming in here and casting aspersions on like the consistency of his hardness is helping anyone.
It's normal. It's so normal.
It's normal. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
It happens to everyone.
He's got stuff on his mind.
Oh, I was referring to the spines.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, the spines.
Okay. Well, so forget everything I said.
Many species.
I didn't even bring it up.
Many species have these spines, including cats, wombats, hamsters, koalas. Primates.
Koalas.
Koalas.
You say that funny.
And insects. And a lot of insects too.
How does he he say? Say
koalas.
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 It's just koalas.
It's just because he goes Australian.
Koalas. Koalas. It's fine. Koala. There's some inconsistencies in how I speak, and that's okay.
I just like when you're doing a character, but the only thing about the character is it's full Australian.
Yeah, no, I'm from Australia. Hello. Now, in some animals, look, this would be all more interesting if I was. In some animals, the penile spines contribute to increased sexual sensation and quicker orgasms, which what makes me think that I must still have them.
All right, Gary. All right.
I mean, Gary still has them.
Yeah, gotcha, Gary.
Penile spines, I can't picture it. So, well, sort of like, you know, rib for her pleasure.
Well, I think they're
Gary's wife's pleasure.
They're usually pointing like backwards towards the animal.
Oh, hey, well, that's what they say. If you're pointing one dick spine at your enemy, you're pointing four dick spines back at yourself.
If you're pointing your dick at your enemy, you're pointing all your dick spines are pointing back at you.
So, yeah, it's something to think about.
There's a lot more about your dick spines.
That's right. Well, now, they vary in purpose for many animals. The sex scene for this species of fly, wait, no, sorry, this is like a type of fly, I think a fruit fly, the sex scene for a species of fruit fly is best described as a scrambling free-for-all. Hundreds of fruit flies will gather on, say, a wayward orange, and and then there'll be manic feeding along with lots of intercourse, right? Thus, males evolve these penile spines to latch on to a mate with as many females as possible during that mayhem. So it just holds them there in this craziness. And the same thing with bats, apparently, so that they can have mid-air copulation.
Right.
So that'd be fun.
That's right. Yeah, it'd be fun, but also it'd be terrible. It'd be like trying to do it in a jacuzzi where you're kind of pushing each other away from each other because you're floating. And so you'd be constantly flying away and going, oh, sorry, buddy, like that. And so there's a bit of latching with these spines, right? In chimps, penile spines have been proposed to do many things, including increasing stimulation in males, increasing stimulation in females, removing copulatory plugs or sperm left in by other males, or even inflicting minor damage during mating so that females are less receptive to sexual intercourse with other males. And that's something that
you see. It was all fun until that last one. Love getting rid of plugs.
Yeah.
That's good times.
Oh, love it. Yeah, so there is a lot of those kinds of things where apparently that's a similar thing in cats as well, where you hear about that, where it's like they've got a spiny thing and it hurts the female.
Oh, my God. Well, isn't it a thing that like only humans and dolphins fuck for fun? Is that right?
Yeah.
As a scientist, do you back that up?
What about bonobos? Didn't we just talk about them doing it?
Oh, bonobos. Mm. They like to bone.
Yeah. I reckon probably more things like to bone than we think.
Well, this is just another one of those childhood fun facts.
Yeah, just because it feels like...
It's so child-friendly.
This is my opinion and obviously the opinion of God.
Yeah.
Right?
through
me. But my feeling is that if we get any kind of pleasure sensation from that stuff, I can't imagine that we're the only ones who get it.
Sure.
I think probably everybody else gets a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Is that what you tell yourself?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if they get the same amount of shame that I feel, right? But
Gary feels.
Yeah, Gary feels. No, that I feel when I'm using Gary's dick. All right. So sorry. This wasn't supposed to be as kind of...
I mean, you've seen nature documentaries. The animals rarely look like they're just getting it done and moving on.
But you've seen the new Lion King, haven't you?
Oh, I have, yeah.
Real animals don't look like they're having fun.
No, that's people watching real animals.
Yeah, real animals aren't quite as expressive.
Exactly.
Cartoon-like.
Right.
So
expressions that we know how to read.
Mm. Yeah, when I watch cartoon lions fucking, they're sort of dancing around, their hair's moving around in afro formations, whereas the actual lions, stony face, getting the job done.
Exactly. and also, most people I've seen having sex on film don't seem like they're having fun either. It seems much more angry. You go, what the hell's going on? Have fun. Isn't this supposed to be fun? Jesus.
You should direct some porn out.
Yeah.
That's so
all right,
sweet.
Let's see some smiles.
We're having fun here. We're having fun.
We're in love. We're connecting. Yeah.
This is sex, remember? Not like a business meeting. Like an angry business meeting.
That's so nice.
Now, I know you're all what you're all asking yourself. Why is the penis shaped the way that it is?
Mm. Yeah.
Every day I think that.
Every day. Well, I also think that.
According to Jesse Baring's book, Why is the Penis Shaped Like That?
Oh, I wonder if there'll be an answer in here.
Yeah. So
800 pages of nothing.
The answer.
Dave, what was that bubble sound under the table? Oh.
So
just checking the shape.
Well, how
Gary's did, shape.
So how did nature equip men to solve the adaptive problem? This is a big block of text, but how did nature equip men to solve the adaptive problem of other men impregnating their sexual partners? The answer, according to this researcher, Gallup, is that their penises were sculpted in such a way that the organ would effectively displace the semen of competitors from their partner's vagina, a well-synchronized effect that that's facilitated by the upsuck of thrusting during intercourse.
Oh, no.
Specifically, the coronal ridge, which is, I guess, is kind of like the, I guess, the that mushroom shape.
The bell end.
The bell end that covers, yeah. The coronal ridge offers a special removal service by expunging foreign sperm. According to this analysis, the effect of thrusting would be to draw other men's sperm away from the cervix and back around the glands, thus scooping out the semen deposited by a sexual rival. This theory also explains why women have multiple orgasms but men don't. To make sure that a man does not displace his own ejaculated semen, nature has him take a break between sessions. Right? So you, because you
said. Between upsucks.
Upsuck is a pretty horrible word.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
Upsuck.
Never heard that term.
No.
Love it.
Fascinated by it. Upsuck.
Oh, it's making me clench.
It sounds like a sort of an Eastern European last name. You know?
Yeah. Like, Gregory Upsuck.
Yeah. Yuri Upsuck. Gregor.
Champion weightlifter.
So you've probably noticed the refractory period immediately following ejaculation, during which males almost instantly lose their erection. It deflates to half its full size within about a minute. Yeah. Their penises have become
it fizzles out
like a balloon.
Like a balloon flies across the room. Smashing against the wall, leaving these wet marks. You know,
not again.
No.
They're probably.
We got an inspection tomorrow.
Odds are there are some virgins listening in who are getting a real lesson today.
Yeah.
That does happen.
Yeah.
The deflation.
Yep.
That's pretty full on.
Immediately.
That'll take you by surprise the first couple of times.
Yeah.
But after a while, you learn to enjoy it.
So according to these researchers.
Enjoy the deflation.
Yeah, it's the best part.
Oh, that's what I like.
It's a job well done.
Sometimes I just stay deflated for days on end, and I just get more pleasure from that than I would from any kind of intercourse.
Yeah, that's tantric sex, right?
Yeah. Well, it's tantric nonsense.
Yeah. That's why it's called Sting, because he deflates a lot of...
So apparently these, according to the researchers, these post-ejaculatory features, in addition to the common sedation effect of orgasm, may be adaptations to the problem of self-semen displacement, meaning that the odds of removing your own sperm are reduced considerably when your penis is sore or flaccid. And while you're soundly asleep.
Sore. Deflated and sore.
It shouldn't be sore.
Means you've done a good job. Deflated and sore.
All those spikes.
Yeah, that's right.
Should it be sore? That feels wrong.
Sore, no. Yeah. Look,
no, I mean, have one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, look, I think.
Who knows?
I think
it's sore if you start shooting gravel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sore.
Yeah. Look, I've never been to a sex party. I won't. Despite the fact that I mentioned that story, that's not the kind of circles that I.
That wasn't like so. My friend,
no,
kind
that
of
wasn't.
Thing.
That wasn't at all related to that guy who had that trapdoor in the floor when you shared a house.
No, that wasn't that guy. No,
what was in the trapdoor?
Another room.
Oh God!
Where you could go and hook up. I don't know. No, it wasn't that. So
definitely sounds like it.
Is this guy's name Gary?
His name was absolutely Gary. So look, I'll just go on to my last part that I have. I don't know if I've gone for too short of a while.
No, I've enjoyed every moment.
This is of a good length, Al. Yeah, great. If you're feeling insecure about it, this is a fine
length.
This
length is pretty good. It's pretty average.
If you're feeling sore and flaccid, deflated even.
Yeah, if you're feeling deflated, you've done a good job.
Yeah.
Great.
That's what I've learned today.
Yeah.
Great. Also, these same researchers, this isn't my last bit, this is my second last bit, but they've also found that after a couple spent time apart, they've noticed that couples have more vigorous sex, possibly because the men are subconsciously trying to displace any competitor's semen.
Oh.
Anyway. So.
I mean.
That changes.
Is that subconscious?
That's a.
Yeah.
That's front of mind for Dave.
Yeah. Baby, I missed you. Now let's get to work.
Yeah. Now let's up suck.
I got a couple hours of up sucking to do.
Let's get to work.
Yeah. So now you might be asking yourself, why, with men being so hideous psychologically, like you've just heard, and hideous in general, and with peenies, with such weird, gross things to look at, peenies being such weird, gross things to look at, you might ask yourself why there would be still such a percentage of people in the world who are keen for peen.
That right? is the question.
That is, I've been wondering that.
Yeah, why? Well,
the answer may be because semen has an antidepressant effect.
Really?
Right, so there's some research that found that, well, maybe you're familiar with the McClintock effect, which is the observation that when groups of reproduction age women lived or worked together over time, their menstrual cycles tend to become synchronized. Well, some researchers from the State University of New York, they were puzzled to discover that lesbians show no McClintock effect.
What?
So, they realized that the only difference between lesbians and heterosexual women is that the latter are exposed to semen. So they speculated that maybe. And so, I think all of these things are never 100%. But, this is what they're speculating, that maybe semen chemistry has something to do with the McClintock effect. But if that were true, the vagina would have to absorb compounds in semen that affected the women's pheromones. So semen is best known for what's not absorbed by the vagina, the sperm, which swim on, up the fallopian tubes. But sperm comprises only about 3% of semen. The rest is seminal fluid, which comes from the...
And gravel.
From the plain gravel, obviously, some dirt and gravel. But I think seminal fluid mostly comes from the prostate. But it's mostly water, but it also has about 50 compounds. Sugar to nourish the sperm. Immunosuppressants to keep the women's immune system from destroying the sperm. And oddly, two female sex hormones. You have that in your sperm, which is a bit pussy, isn't it?
That's some pretty girly sperm you got.
Hello. And but it also has many mood elevating compounds: endorphins, estrone, prolactin, oxytocin, thyrotropin, and releasing hormone, and serotonin. So vaginal tissue is very absorptive. It's richly endowed with blood and lymph vessels. Given vaginal absorptiveness and all the mood elevating compounds found in symptoms, researchers wondered if semen exposure might be associated with better mood and less depression. They surveyed, and this is only like 300 college women, so it's not the hugest thing, about intercourse with and without condoms, and then gave the women the Beck Depression Inventory, a standard test of mood. Compared with women who always or usually use condoms, those who never did, whose vaginas were exposed to semen, showed significantly better mood, fewer depressive symptoms, and fewer bouts of depression.
Who's this scientist? Come on, baby. It's better we don't need a condom. This will be better for your mood.
This is in no way. Having a kid when you don't need one is not going to lift your mood.
No.
I want that's important.
Or getting an STI.
And so I apologize if it makes it sound – I'm not trying to –
Trying to get everyone to get rid of – what are you in the anti-condom industry?
No.
Is that an industry?
I had to find a way why people would be keen for peen.
Right.
You've come to the wrong podcast, yeah. Mister. We are a safe sex
pod. Hey, if you're gonna, what's the rhyme?
There's so many.
If you're gonna something, wrap your pecker.
Oh, don't be a fool. Wrap your tool.
Yeah. Don't be a fool. Yeah. If you're gonna,
but no, no contraception is 100% safe. The only thing that's 100% safe is not having sex at all.
Yeah. No, it's the rhythm method.
Sorry. I was confused that.
As a spokesperson for God, I would like to say I agree with that. So look,
God also endorses pulling out.
Yes, that's right.
We have a few Christian listeners, and I hope they're enjoying the blasphemy today.
Yeah, great.
And I, Al, are you blaspheming or are you being genuine here?
God wants me to say that I'm being genuine. So it was just, I just thought that was an interesting.
That is interesting.
That's, yeah. Whilst it needs a bigger sample size.
It does need a bigger sample size. You're absolutely correct.
300 people is not enough.
Wait, what are you suggesting? A bigger study?
Okay.
I think more people need to raw dog it for science.
Raw dog.
Oh, wow.
Raw dog for science.
Raw dog for science.
Take it to the street. All these nerds in white coats out there going, hey, baby, let's do it for science, huh?
I'm going to go off the back. I'm going to go and hijack these Extinction Rebellion protests and be like, but also raw dog for science.
Yeah. Trust me, you'll be happier. Well, that's true. Think.
If with no raw dogging, we will go extinct. If you think about it,
yeah.
That's true. Which actually would be great for the planet.
Would be great. Would be great.
Yeah,
for
we're
the real other
problem
animals
on the planet.
Yeah. That is essentially the end of my history of the penis.
Oh, Alistair!
Wow.
I'm so sorry you had to ruin your search history for us.
But I'm so thankful that you did it, because that has been sitting in the bank for us for a long time.
Yeah,
probably sperm over bank. 3 years in the sperm bank.
Spank bank for me.
For Gary.
For Gary. Can I ask, how many have you seen lots of dicks researching this? Did you see lots of images, or was it mainly just articles?
A lot more animal dicks than...
Right. And let me
ducks
just ask this.
Weird, aren't they?
Who's got...
Ducks
are really, I just want to know, what animal's got the best dick?
The best?
The best, Al. Scientifically.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we
any,
do.
Any specific man or... any specific man?
Gary.
Yeah. Gary's got the best dick.
Whoa!
Gary!
Whoa, 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 whoa!
It's so good.
Good for Gary.
It's so good.
Wow. Al, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We do appreciate it.
I did learn a lot about dicks.
Yeah.
And science.
And at the end of the hour, I'm still keen for pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm less keen. I'll be honest, I'm less keen.
I'm a bit ashamed I don't have a bone now.
What?
Wow. I think you had a bone.
Oh, okay. You mean a bone. But then you meant, like,
what happens?
By
I
the
mean,
end of the report,
permanently...
you should have a bone. I'm like, no, you shouldn't. You're at work.
But you're in a no-bone zone.
Do you think if you had a bone, you'd have to constantly keep your peen tucked? Gary would have to keep his peen tucked under his sort of belt?
Like, yeah.
His like, sort of waistline? Or do you think it would just be more acceptable to sort of...
just have your bone out. So wait. Oh, yeah, right. So animals just always have a boner.
Yeah, but I think maybe they're also their penises aren't as big.
Gary.
Roll dog for science. Roll dog for science.
Yeah. Guys, come on.
It's for science.
Wow.
I'd do just about anything for science.
Can we get a petition on change.org?
To raw dog for science?
If we get a million signatures, they'll have to take note. Yeah.
The government will have to vote on it if we get 10,000 votes, signatures.
Raw dog for science. We want the Prime Minister to raw dog for science.
Oh, no, we don't want him to. No, thank you. Well, that brings us to a couple of our favourite parts of the podcast.
Mm. Oh, yes.
The first being Matt's favourite segment.
Oh, only mine. I'm pretty sure this is everyone's favorite.
It's everyone's favorite
of the show.
I was just padding to give you a little more time because you looked like you were trying to find it.
It is the fact, quote, or questions section of the show.
Al, did you know that people support the show on Patreon?
I've recently heard that, and yeah. I was not surprised because it's a valuable show that gives adds value to people's lives.
Thank you so much, Al.
People would know, listeners would know that Al was on this section of the show only about three, four weeks ago when we did the Oneida episode.
Yeah, you're a Patreon fan favorite.
I don't know if that's true, but
it's
true. But thank you for saying
it's
that.
True. It's true. Yeah.
It was damn
you
true.
Shut up. You stop being so smart.
Come on, Matt.
You
Do you have a Discord?
Yep.
Yeah. Do I appear in there? Yep. My name show up there?
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. What's a Discord? Follow up question? Yeah. No, we don't have. Should we have one of them? No one's ever. Someone asked us to do a TikTok recently.
Adorable.
I signed up for my own one just to test the waters, and I haven't quite got my head around it yet.
Just gotta sing a song. Do 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 do,
do go on.
Love that.
I mean, you guys could do sort of 3-part harmonies of various songs where you say "do go on."
Yeah.
Anyway, this week's fact, quote, or question,
which is one of our Patreon supporters, of course.
Mm. Yes. So if you want to support the show on Patreon, go to patreon.com/dogoonpod, and you can get all sorts of rewards, including getting into the exclusive Facebook group. You get bonus episodes on certain levels.
2 every month, baby.
And on this level, the Sydney Sheinberg.
R.I.P.
Deluxe package, rest in peace, memorial.
You get to give us a fact, a quote, or a question. This week, Drew Peisner has given us a fact, but he's also, another thing you have to do is give yourself a title. He's given himself the title, official 6th Beatle and 5th member of the pod.
Oh, that's a huge thing to
give
yourself.
Wow, the 6th Beatle. Wow. There you go.
Who's the 4th member of the pod?
Nick Mason.
Of course.
He would probably argue he's the 1st member of the pod.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's got a lot of fans who would argue vehemently with him.
Probably.
So it would be hard for you to even hold on to your pod.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Nick Mason's pod.
Yeah,
he's the only
right.
member.
He says it's non-canonical if he's not on it.
Non-canonical is fun to say also. Have
I
a go.
I love that. Non-canonical Nick Mason.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So Drew writes, "Hey, do-go-honours. It's Drew coming at you again with a few much shorter Spider-Man facts." That's right, because Drew's last fact, quote, or question was...
Was it the James Bond?
The James Bond essay. It was more like a mini report. Which
about 3 pages.
I put it on our YouTube channel. If you go to youtube.com/dogoonpod, you can see me read it out in full. But he's given us 5 Spider-Man facts. I like his... It is fact, quote, or question, and we said last time your fact was too long, so he's changed it to just 5 short facts.
Okay.
So here are 5
How short? Sentences?
Sentences.
All right, Drew.
Number 1, he's come a long way.
Yeah, he's really taken feedback, and we appreciate that.
Number 1, Spider-Man was the first teenage superhero not to be a sidekick to an adult.
Okay, like Robin was a teenager or something, wasn't he? Batman and Robin?
Yeah.
Was he at some point? I could be wrong.
Right.
I don't know anything.
Yeah,
that's cool. That makes sense. And do you want to give it a fun rating?
Out of what?
Out of fun or not?
I'm going to give that...
2 funds.
2 funds.
2 funds. Number 2, Spider-Man's most famous alternate costume, his black suit, was designed by 22-year-old fan Randy Schuler. And purchased by Marvel for only $220 in 1982.
Oh, that's not enough money.
Well, back then, if you bring that up to current dollars, that's like $5,000.
What a weird thing to have happened anyway. Mm. A fan designed a black suit and they bought it off him.
I'm going to give that 2 funds as well.
I mean, surely people had thought about putting it in a different colour.
Yeah, well, not until 1982 and Randy Schuler came along. Fact number 3, Spider-Man is weak. To the pesticide ethyl chloride. What does that mean, Al?
Oh, it's like his kryptonite, maybe.
Oh,
is it Roundup? Because I think we're all...
Yeah, I don't think any of us do well.
We're all weak to that now.
Yeah, he was just first onto it, I guess. Fact number 4. Dude, was that... How many funds is that?
1 fun.
1 fun. Number 4, Spider-Man is former US President Barack Obama's favourite Spider-Man. Wait, what?
Spider-Man is Obama's favorite Spider-Man.
Spider-Hero. Superhero.
Superhero.
I also,
of all the Spider-Heroes out there, Barack Obama, I'd like to see my favorite.
And that's why he was controversial in some fields.
Yeah. I'm going to give that 1 fun.
I'd like to see my favorite Spider-Hero Spider-Man.
He says it's also.
Not Spider-Boy.
It's also Drew Pazner's favorite. Superhero.
Ah, Drew.
And finally, number 5.
We can tell based on the facts you have.
Yeah. Three funds?
Was that 3 funds? How many?
That one?
Yeah.
But Obama said there's one.
One fun.
One fun.
And finally, number five, volume one of The Amazing Spider-Man lasted 700 issues and almost 50 years from 1963 to 2012.
50 years?
Holy moly.
That's three funds.
Why stop?
Wow.
Yeah, why stop?
I guess I ran out of juice, I guess.
He died.
Oh, they need to get the peen bone.
Oh, yeah.
Despite
us, keep going.
Keep your urethra open.
And that brings us, thank you so much, Drew Paisley.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate that. Appreciate you.
What a hero.
And since Al has pointed out that all fun facts are untrue, sadly, I don't believe anything anymore.
Yeah.
But thank you nonetheless.
And that brings us to the time we like to thank a few of our other patrons. These are usually people who've been on there for a little while as we work our way through the list. And Jess normally gives us some sort of a game to play. What is it today? Are we going to name their peanut? Peenies?
Could we say, I don't want to step on your toes,
please,
Jesse,
no,
tell me.
Please.
They're not keen for peen, they're keen for something else.
Great, that's nicer.
Does it have to rhyme with peen?
I reckon.
All right.
We'll run out,
keen.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it has to be keen.
Would you mind if I kick it off?
Please.
From Western Supermare in Somerset, Great Britain.
Oh, we cannot wait to get close to Somerset.
Somerset, Dave. Somerset.
Somerset. Jay Blunt.
Jay Blunt.
J-A-I-E.
Yeah,
Jay or Jai Blunt?
Jai Blunt.
You think Jai it's Blunt. James Blunt's niece or nephew?
Sibling.
Ah.
They're beautiful.
What is Jai keen for?
Keen for teens.
Keen for teens.
Helping them.
Yeah.
Unless they are also a teen and then it's okay.
No, it's fine.
Like Spider-Man
helping
and
out
Robin.
Teens. Yeah.
Wow, Jai or
thanks,
Jay.
Rhyming,
thanks,
Al.
Jai, Jay Blunt. Appreciate your support over in Somerset.
And
Somerset.
Your support of teens.
Yeah, that's
keen
right.
For teens.
Yeah, teens appreciate you. Thank you.
And I'd also love to thank from the great state of Indiana in the United States of America.
Oh, probably definitely in the top three of that state.
Lindsay Wallace.
Lindsay Wallace.
Keen for aubergine.
Oh. Oh.
Wow, I didn't think we were going to have to break out aubergine till later, but you've gone straight there.
And aubergine is a metaphor for peen.
Yeah.
I think that's why it was on my brain.
Yeah.
Is it aubergine, what do they call it, aubergine in America? Because it's nearly eggplant everywhere, I think.
Yeah.
I think in America,
aubergine in a couple
in
of places.
In France, they definitely call it aubergine.
Aubergine.
Yeah.
That is wily French.
Yeah.
Maybe. And now in Indianapolis, they say that Lindsay Wallace is key for aubergine.
Don't you speak French?
Oui.
How often does that come up for you? How often is that helpful?
Do I speak French?
Yeah.
It comes up so infrequently that I've been losing it over the 20 years I've been here.
Yeah.
And now I don't see a point teaching it to my son.
Sure.
Which everybody finds very offensive.
Yeah.
Offensive?
Like they find it, they're like,
if you know
I would
language,
have loved
yeah.
to have learned a language when I was small.
You know? Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you weren't the one that had to try and...
Offense is a weird thing for them to go with.
It offends people's
that is
to their
constitution. Yeah.
Do you mind if you guys keep going while I have a piss?
Sure.
Yeah. I'll...
Out of my...
Oh, you cloaca?
Cloaca, thank
you. Clean it
out.
Out of
you
Gary's...
Have, you have drunk nearly a liter of water in this.
Well,
market.
Actually, I started with half
yeah.
one, so I didn't think that through. I'm
that's
trying
okay.
to drink 3 liters a day.
Off you go. We'll take it from
I'll
here.
I'll thank a couple of peeps if that's all right.
Sure, of
I would
course.
Like to thank from Canberra, the Australian Capital Territory, here in Australia. I would like to, obviously, sorry. I would like to thank Emily Mills.
Emily Mills.
Hi, Emily Mills. And Emily Mills,
it's
Jess.
Keen
for?
Sheen.
Ah, Charlie? Michael? Mr.
Martin.
Keen for Martin
the
Sheen.
The superior Sheen.
Mm. Ah.
Or Emilio.
Oh.
Yeah.
Emilio Sheen.
Well, he is a Sheen. But
yeah.
He's,
is his real name Emilio? Is that also part of the stage name?
Could be part. But I think, you know, they've got like a
I
South
think it
American
is
collection.
Or is Sheen the stage name?
And Sheen's Esther, the stage
yeah,
name.
Yeah. So that's, you're right.
So Martin Sheen. Martin took Sheen as a stage name. And then Charlie took his dad's stage name as his stage name.
And then Mr. Sheen. Where does he fit in this?
Unrelated.
Oh. Oh, what a coincidence.
He's just a guy from Ireland.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Sheen.
Well, thank you so much, Emily Mills. We appreciate your support. And I'd also like to thank from Lexington in KY. Are we looking at Kansas there?
I can hear Matt pissing.
Oh, man. Are we picking that up on the mic?
Hope so.
No, but I don't have my headphones on, so I can hear it. He'll hate that.
Oh, right. That's why you can hear it so loud. Mm. Lexington, KY. Oh, that's got to be Kentucky, of course.
Of course, you idiot, of course.
Oh, an idiot. So sorry, so sorry. To Perry Ritter from Lexington, Kentucky, and Al. Perry Ritter, keen for...
Zines.
Oh.
Yes.
Loves making zines, loves reading zines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and magazines as well.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Zines,
yeah.
Which is short for magazine.
Yep.
Gotcha. We just thanked a couple of legends, Matt, and we could hear you pissing from in here.
That's no, it's actually raining outside.
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
But sure. it just stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, so
it was heavy
that.
For about 8 to 9 seconds there.
Can I thank some people as well?
Please.
I would love to thank from Rochester, New York.
Wow.
Christopher J. Ford.
Oh, I love a middle initial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keen for Doreen. That's my aunt's name.
Oh.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Keeping it in the family.
Yeah, tell us a bit about Doreen. Why is he so keen on her?
She's a nice lady.
Okay.
Where does she live?
Two daughters, Montreal.
Oh, nice.
Not too far away.
Yeah.
Montreal from New York State, pretty close.
Yeah, there. You know, you could get there in 2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah, less maybe.
That's great.
Well, that works out
very
well.
Wow, it's so great.
We're talking on a plane, right?
Right?
Talking on a plane.
We're talking driving. New York State, it's just over the border.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said New York City. Sorry.
Well, I did not. It's Rochester. I don't know where that is.
But
it's in... Well, I do know where it is. It's in New York State.
Yes, it's in New York.
I'm so sorry.
Is that near Ithaca? Albany?
No, it's pronounced Jessica.
Oh, Jessica. Sorry.
Ithaca. Cute. Can I thank someone else?
Please.
Thank you so much. I would love to thank from Balcatta... In Western Australia, Delaney Brockett.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Delaney. Hold the phone, Delaney.
Brockett. Delaney Brockett is keen for Maureen, my aunt.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Delaney Brockett, that is top notch.
Delaney
I love that.
Brockett.
I mean, what about Maureen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry,
too.
Maureen's a beautiful name.
Top notch.
I can see why he'd be keen. I can see why he'd be keen.
She's lovely.
Where's Maureen live?
Ballarat.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half from here.
Is that far from New York State?
Pretty far. Pretty far. But, I mean, Delaney is in Western Australia, so still within the same country, I guess.
That's true.
But pretty far from Ballarat.
Yeah.
To be honest. You'd have to fly, you'd have to get to Perth, fly to Melbourne, and then drive. It's a hassle, but, you know.
You might be able
Something you're keen for. You make that effort,
you might be able to get a direct flight to Ballarat.
So. I don't know about that. Hey, Al, would you like to thank some people as well?
What have we had so far? So there was Aubergine, there were teens.
Mm-hmm.
Zines. There was
Doreen.
Maureen.
And Sheen.
And Sheen. Keen for Sheen.
Yeah.
So
Charlie?
Oh, I just got one, which I can't believe we haven't said yet.
Oh, wow.
Well, we can
keep
use
it.
So if you don't mind thanking a couple of people, I've got them here for you on my phone. Matt just needs to move his cursor so you can actually read.
Yeah, great. It's Vanessa Hackett from Long Beach, California.
Oh,
and
Vanessa is keen for Queen.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah.
Dun 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 dun.
Got it in a boy.
Singing Queen as the Queen.
As the Queen.
Yeah. Fuck, he's good.
Wow, that's
a comedy. There's one more there as well. Yes.
That works on two
very
levels.
Very good. Wow. Thank you, Vanessa.
And obviously we'd love to thank Callum Neville from Beeliar, Western Australia.
Okay, Callum.
Thank you, Callum.
Thank you, Callum.
Keen for Labeen Boy.
Keen for Labeen Boy.
Me. Follow me on Twitter, guys.
Keen for Labeen.
I've been posting a few photos of me eating Labeens lately. Mm. You can get on there. And Callum Neville, I'm sure you're on there.
Yeah.
Appreciating the beans.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for your support. And Al, thank you for being here and thanking these beautiful people as well.
You guys have thanked me enough. I have not thanked you enough. Thank you, Jessica.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Oh, thank you so much,
Thank you, David.
Thank you. That became religious at the end for me.
Yeah.
Thank you, David.
Yeah. And
David,
you said,
King,
Bobble.
King David.
Damn right.
Big player in the Bible.
Yeah. I remember being told at a very young age that the name David appears more than the name Jesus. So.
Wow.
Whoa.
That never, is a fun fact.
Never fact checked it.
Probably untrue.
Fun fact, probably untrue. Almost certainly untrue. My parents just giving me a bit of an ego. And it worked.
Yeah, you're it more worked. Important than Jesus, they said.
Mm. Well, apparently Matthew means a gift from God. So, okay, maybe we've all got something pretty
so
cool.
So does Jessica.
Yeah, right.
Alistair means conqueror of worlds, I think. I think it's just it's a Celtic version of Alexander, and that means conqueror
right.
of worlds.
Right.
I didn't know that. Alistair, and then the Alistair is something entirely different.
Yeah, that's entirely
it's
different.
It's like a weak little bitch or something.
Guy,
I think.
Guy
yeah,
guy who gets eaten by bear.
Yeah. So, lucky.
Phew, man. Dodged a bearlet.
Well, that brings us to the end of the bloody episode. I can't believe we've done it. We finally got Keen for Peen.
We did it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Al. And can we just say before we go that the journey doesn't stop here because, Al, we can listen to your beautiful voice as well as Andy Matthews' beautiful voice every week on your fantastic podcast, Two in the Think Tank.
Yes.
Tell us about that fantastic show.
Well, it sounds like nothing because we just come up with 5 sketch ideas, right? Comedy sketches. But it turns out the journey can be very fun. And along the way, you talk about life and you discover each other. And and
cloacas,
and you talk about cloacas, and you discover how they're a better idea. Mm. But generally, it's been going good.
And you've recently
a lot of you guys have appeared on there.
Yeah,
all of you guys.
You got the big three,
and recently did the was it about 20 hours?
It was a 200th episode, and it ended up taking us almost 17 hours.
My God,
Jess appears on that. Meso, Mr. Sunday. They all appear on the 200th episode if you are game to do the 17 hours of listening.
That's respect.
Al yelled, "Good luck ever pleasing a man," at me. And I was on in only like their 4th hour or something. And he'd already got to that. Yeah.
Yeah. So check that out. Also,
Was that pain spine related or?
No,
just hatred.
No, I can't remember. It was related to milk or something like that. I can't remember.
It was out of nowhere, and that's what made it even more fun.
She doesn't drink milk or something. Good luck ever pleasing a man.
All right.
Oh, that does bring us down. So it's 2 in the Think Tank, a fantastic show. You got anything else you'd like to tell the good people about, Al?
You can always check out Shusher Guided Meditation.
Oh, yes, of course.
I feel like when I played, I think I picked the wrong episode to put on your podcast.
Yeah, we put one in the feed. We did a Do Go On Presents, which is in our feed. If you want to go back through, that's an easy way to find it.
I should have gone with the dog sandwich one, where I just kind of, it's a guided meditation where I talk about, I want you to think about the words dog sandwich. What do you see when I say dog sandwich?
I'm imagining a dog with a sandwich.
Picturing a dog in between two slices.
Me too.
Bread.
I went with the Matt Stewart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, see, or maybe you're picturing like a dog and then a smaller dog and then another dog.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
good too.
See, these are the kind of imagery
off right now.
So you do have a beautiful soothing voice. So it's a comedy meditation guide, but it's also people use it to genuinely either relax or meditate.
Or shush them to sleep.
Shush them to sleep,
Either way. If you struggle to sleep, it's got me to sleep a few times.
It's a break from the real world.
I should have used it yesterday. I just did a sleep study in at the hospital.
Yeah.
I was in there for about 24 hours. The first night is just like sleep as long as you can, and they put the wires on you. And then the daytime, they go, all right, stay awake for an hour and a half, then we'll come in, turn out the lights, and monitor you while you try and sleep for 20 minutes. And then we'll turn the lights on, hour and a half, 20 minutes trying to sleep, then an hour and a half. And it was just over, and that was... The rest of the day was like that.
You're just trying to have naps.
Yeah, basically just trying to have naps, but under some pressure of science.
Could you nap for the 20 minutes or no?
Apparently I napped in half of the attempts. I fell asleep, they told me. And I didn't think I did. I'm like, I'm not sure if I did or not. And
that's when you did.
And then they're like, yeah, you slept in half the times. So I'm like, oh, because it normally takes me 20 minutes to fall asleep. But it was interesting. There's like a camera. You can see the camera that's watching you. And then there's an intercom, and they're like, all right, now close your eyes.
Oh, I hate that.
And if you feel like sleeping, don't fight it. Okay, I know what I'm here for.
Please stop telling me what to do.
But I was allowed to listen to podcasts, and I didn't listen to Shush, how stupid.
It's okay.
I would have gotten my head too much. I would have been thinking like, oh, I wonder what Al's up to.
No, that's... The podcast doesn't put you in your head. It really takes you out of your head. No, I'm just joking.
That's true. Okay. Well, I fucked up. I should say, I used Shusha and it worked a treat. I got to sleep even under scientific circumstances.
100% of the time.
When you don't use it, you only sleep half of the time. The prescribed
sleeping
times. That's
right. You would have slept every time if you listened to Al.
Yeah, that's the trick.
All right, Al, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to get in contact with us about this show, you can go to dogoonpod.com and follow the links to our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, which is all at dogoonpod. Mm-hmm. We're always posting different bits and pieces up there. And also, our YouTube channel is now up. Nearly up to date, so youtube.com/dogoonpod for that one.
Yes.
We got an email, dogoonpod@gmail.com. Al, we're on all the mediums.
And follow all of our individual things as well.
Yeah,
follow
that's right.
And that, all those links will be there in the description.
Yeah, we all post different jokes on Twitter and Instagram.
Pretty different jokes.
No, yeah. I'm very sincere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, people it's respond to me sincere. Like I'm being sincere, but...
yeah. Like, anyway...
And I think I'm replying to people when I'm actually tweeting to all of my followers.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. I think I felt like the only person who didn't see it was the guy I was trying to interact with. Sorry about that. If you tweeted me about Nathaniel Hawthorne, the author of The Scarlet Letter, I did try and write back. I did.
You are 100 years old.
You didn't just copy and paste to another... You're like, well, I've fired my one shot at this.
I thought it was funnier if he came across it. All these people writing back being like, are you okay?
That's nice.
Oh, thanks, everyone. So we'll be back next week with another episode, which will be our... Is next week our...
Our ninth, I think.
But what about for the block order?
Oh, that'll be our second last
Second most requested topic will be coming next week.
I think it might even be our most requested topic next week and then a little bonus block.
Yeah, right,
in the last week.
Ugh,
well,
excited.
Let's discuss the order, but something like that.
Anyway, we've got two sizzling topics to come up. But Al, we're keen for pain and we're keen to have you back sometime. But until then, thank you so much.
This has meant everything to me. Thank you so much.
And this is officially the end of the universe. Who cares? From now on, yeah, it's all just a bonus.
We did it. Bonus.
Bonus.
Appropriate. Keen for bonus.
All right. Thank you so much. And until next week, I'll say goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.